Another story we've been hearing a lot about lately, the wave of migrant children, mostly from Central America, who've been making their way alone across the U.S.-Mexico border. For some, this is deja vu. Back in the 1980s, huge numbers of Guatemalans and Salvadorans fled to the U.S. to escape civil war back home. Here's more from the Fronteras Public Radio Collaborative and reporter Jude Joffe Block.
John Fife used to be the pastor here at Tucson Southside Presbyterian Church.
We're located in the oldest and poorest barrio in Tucson.
Back in the 80s, Fife became worried about the civil wars in Central America. Guatemalans and Salvadorans were fleeing military-led massacres and death squads.
Everyone in the international community said to the United States, these people are refugees. The conditions they're fleeing justify a grant of political asylum to them. And the United States government said no.
Almost all of these immigrants were denied asylum initially. Fife knew deportation back to their countries could be deadly. That's when a fellow activist approached him with a proposal.
And basically said, John, I don't think we have any choice except to help people cross the border without being captured by Border Patrol.
So Fife and about 20 other Tucson activists basically became pro bono smugglers. Fife says the first time he had to think hard about it.
Am I willing to go to jail for a year or two in order to save this family from deportation to death?
They help migrants get from northern Mexico to this very church in Tucson. Fife opens the door to a simple room, just a polished cement floor and a kitchen.
And this used to have 50 to 60 people just sleeping on the floor every night when we began.
In 1982, the church told the federal government it was providing sanctuary to these Central American immigrants and shielding them from deportation.
Their response was, if you do that, we'll indict you.
Even so, the sanctuary movement spread to other churches and synagogues around the country. An underground railroad formed to shuttle immigrants from the U.S.-Mexico border to as far north as Canada. The federal government did prosecute Fife and others, but the sanctuary activists countersued. And by the early 1990s, public policy had shifted.
The government agreed to stop all deportations to El Salvador and Guatemala, and they agreed to a whole series of reforms of the political asylum process.
I can proudly say that sanctuary rocks, that it's because of them that I'm alive.
Patricia Barceló was a scared 12-year-old from Guatemala when her family crossed into Arizona in 1985. Her parents were union organizers and were being targeted by the right-wing military in power in Guatemala at the time. She remembers meeting John Fife her first night in the U.S. Today she's 40 years old, works at a hospital, and has a teenage son.
I remember when I was crossing the border. All I wanted to get out of this, from what I understood, was that I was going to have a chance, that I was going to sleep with my shoes off, that nobody was going to come to my house with guns and kill my family.
Now, seeing the current headlines of children and families fleeing Guatemala, Honduras, and El Salvador in big numbers brings back some of those memories.
I have that sense of guilt that not everybody in my country got out. A lot of them that needed to get out got killed. They didn't have the same chance that I did. And I think that the kids coming up right now are just asking for an opportunity to survive, to have a home and a safe home.
What is happening now has a lot of parallels to the 1980s.
Again, John Fife.
Death threats and killings and massacres.
The key difference today, Fife says, is that it's organized crime driving the violence. And as for what he believes should happen now, Fife wants to see a revival of the sanctuary movement. It could start with his old church. Last month, Southside Presbyterian gave sanctuary publicly to the first immigrant in more than 20 years. For The World, I'm Jude Joffe Block, Tucson.
Tomorrow, we'll hear from a United Nations official who's been talking to kids about what it's like to cross the border alone.